Before we start this episode, I need to share that this podcast with Susan Enfield was recorded prior to the current civil unrest happening in our country. Her and I connected about continuing with the release of the episode, and we both thought that it was still relevant to share. The inspiration and guidance that Susan shares in this conversation is important, and she even talks about using social media as an advocacy tool. My hope is that you can lean into this conversation for renewed hope that social media can be a tool for positive change. Hey there, welcome back to another episode of Mastering Social Media for Schools. I'm Andrea, I am your host. And before we get into the episode for today with Susan Enfield, which is awesome, I have a quick announcement. I have a free webinar coming up this Wednesday, June 10th. It's happening live at 2 p.m. Eastern and 9 p.m. Eastern. You can sign up for free on my website, socialschool4edu.com/services/webinars. And if that's too long, I want you to just go into the show notes of this podcast episode. You can sign up for free there. Not only can you join live, but everybody who registers is going to get the recording of the webinar. It's about a 30-minute webinar. I'm going to jump into 5 things you can do right now that are going to help you have a plan to get your stories out, to celebrate the great things happening with your district. No more feeling out of control. No more feeling like you're tied to your phone. No more feeling like, hey, I don't have any stories to share. We're going to break into strategies and steps you can take right now that's going to improve your storytelling in the fall. So sign up for free. I hope you'll join us and you'll get all of the details there. Now let's jump into what you're going to hear from Susan Enfield today. She is going to really share how she walks the walk and talks the talk as a superintendent in Highline Public Schools in Washington. She's going to dive into how to get started with your own professional social media account. So this is really for all of you school leaders out there, whether you're a superintendent or a principal, or really anybody in leadership in a school district. She's going to talk about what platform she suggests is best to get started and ways she encourages social media use by her staff. She's also going to talk about using social media as an advocacy tool and also about being authentic, being herself. And she hasn't even catch your phrase about being authentic, but hey, I'm not going to spoil it. That's why you need to just lean in and listen to this episode with Susan Enfield. I'm Andrea Gribble, a Wisconsin mom who got laid off from her corporate career and jumped into entrepreneurship, not knowing exactly where that road might lead. I'm a natural-born cheerleader who discovered a way to cheer on schools through the power of social media. Turns out, social media isn't easy. I had to figure out what I was doing, and now I'm here to teach you everything I've learned. The Mastering Social Media for Schools podcast gives you simple, actionable strategies to celebrate your students and connect your communities through the power of social media. Join me as I pick the brains of experts across the country to bring you the best tips and tricks to make your school social media shine. Before we dive into today's episode with Susan, I want to give your K-12 PR tip, and it's about consistency. Social media needs to be consistent. You can't expect to post once a week and expect your followers to see it. Because of the algorithms, because of all the noise happening out there, if you're not posting at least once a day, your followers are not going to see your updates. Now, during the school year, you're going to post more often than that. Sometimes we post anywhere from 2 to 5 times a day on Facebook. But in the summer, it's going to be less. Your goal, at least once a day, you should be putting something out there. And if you're looking for help on what to post during the summer, we got your back. We've got a great blog that covers 10 ideas that can give you enough content right now to put out on your social channels, because you might have virtual summer school and not summer school in person. And so you have less photographs and stories to share. Well, This helpful blog is going to give you 10 ideas that you can put to work to make sure you're meeting that consistent messaging of at least once a day. We hope this tip helps. Now let's dive in to this week's episode. Welcome back to another podcast episode. I am pumped because I have the one and only Superintendent Susan Enfield out of Highline Schools. Hi, Susan.
Hello, Andrea. How are you?
I'm really good. It's a little warmer today in Wisconsin. How's the weather there in Washington?
Well, it's been lovely. We had a heat wave this weekend, but our classic rain is coming again today. But we've been lucky.
Well, that's good. For those of you, those listeners who maybe have been living under a rock and not following you on social media, can you just introduce yourself, kind of share some of your background?
Sure. I am Susan Enfield. I'm the proud superintendent for Highline Public Schools in Burien, Washington. So we're located just south of Seattle. When you land in SeaTac Airport, when you can one day get on a plane again safely and fly and come to Seattle, which is a beautiful place, and you land in SeaTac Airport, you are landing in Highline Public Schools. So our schools surround the airport. That is where we're located. And we are a richly diverse system serving approximately 18,000 students pre-K through 12. Over 100 different languages are spoken across our schools, and we describe our students as brilliant, beautiful, and brimming with promise. And we have an amazing community and staff who are truly committed to delivering on what we call our Highline Promise, which is to know every student by name, strength, and need, so they graduate prepared for the future they choose.
I love that. I see that statement right in your Twitter bio, which is amazing. So how long have you been at Highline Schools?
So this is I'm finishing my 8th year as superintendent here in Highline. Time flies.
That's awesome. And then, so what were you doing before Highline?
Immediately prior to Highline, I was the interim superintendent for Seattle Public Schools and had been the chief academic officer prior to that. And before coming to Seattle, I was in district leadership roles in Evergreen Public Schools, Vancouver, Washington, Portland Public Schools in Oregon. And then before that, the Pennsylvania Department of Education. And I started at the Department of Education just after finishing my coursework for my doctoral program in the Urban Superintendents Program at Harvard.
Okay, awesome. So did you always want to be in education?
Oh, yeah. I always wanted to be a teacher. So, and you probably know this, Andrea, when you are talking with a room of teachers and you say, how many of you used to teach your stuffed animals and your dolls when you were little? A lot of hands go up, right? So that's me too. I used to line up all my stuffed animals and dolls and I would teach class. What I learned when I eventually did become a high school teacher is that stuffed animals and dolls are much easier to manage than live students. And so that's a real wake-up call when you walk into your own classroom. But yes, I always wanted to be a teacher. I taught high school English journalism and English language learners for 7 years down in the San Francisco Bay Area and absolutely loved it. So yes, I always wanted to go into education to be a teacher. No, I never aspired to be a superintendent because I don't know of anybody who aspires to be a superintendent.
I want to just give an amen to that, Susan, because I am so happy to be in my role with just social media with schools. And I work with, we serve over 90 school districts with social media management. Mm-hmm. So usually our main contact is a superintendent, and just even being able to talk to them is a miracle because you've got so much going on. But I'm like, that is like one of the toughest jobs, but it's an important role. Mm-hmm. You embrace it so well. You are a leading superintendent across the country. Actually, the last picture I got with you, Susan, do you know, was a selfie with a billboard made with your face on it at the National Convention for Education in San Diego. Do you remember that?
Oh, yes. Sadly, I do.
And we never got to get a real selfie, together. But I just want to find that picture really quick because it's so funny, and I will share it with other people. But your specific little takeaway, which Tova was just a guest on my podcast.
She's fabulous. Yes.
She is amazing.
She is amazing. Yeah.
But do you know that they have this banner in their office now?
Yeah. I know. They like to lovingly torture me, and I appreciate that. My communications team are the best, Catherine and Tova. Oh yeah, there it is.
That's funny.
Can I just say, for the record, I don't care what you do for a living. No one needs to see their face magnified like 85,000 times.
But you're so beautiful. The quote on it is critical. And I think this is really important for our listeners, especially our superintendents and our principals. Mm-hmm. You said, having a social media presence as a superintendent is no longer an option. It's a requirement. You don't need to be on every platform, but you need to have a robust presence on at least one. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So can you just break that down for me? Because there's so many superintendents out there that I don't have time for it.
Yeah. It's hard. It's hard on a lot of different levels, right? But it's also really important. All the important stuff is hard, right? If only the really important, like meaningful work were easy, but that's just not how it works. So I really do believe that, as I really believe what I said there, I don't think that not engaging on social media is an option in this day and age if you're a superintendent or a leader. And so this is what I say. You know, I am blessed to have an amazing communications team. I have many colleagues, superintendent colleagues around the country, who do not have communications teams. They're too small. They don't have the budget. It's not that they don't value it or want it. That's just not a reality for them. So for those who are fortunate enough to have a team, rely on them. You know, when I first started on Twitter a few years ago, Tova would help and, you know, send me tweets that I could copy and paste. And actually, I do all my own tweets, but if there are district initiatives that she wants me to really promote, she'll send me an email and I can just copy and paste the tweet. So that's one tip I say. You don't have to create everything. You can rely on your team. And if you don't have a comms person, rely on other people on your team. Send me a quick email that, you know, I can put into a tweet or an Instagram post or what have you. And I think too, what I look at it as is that Twitter and Instagram are a wonderful way to celebrate and share the work that's happening in Highline. One of the things that I always am heartened to hear is when I meet with colleagues from around the country and they say, I feel like I know about everything happening in Highline by reading your tweets and your Twitter feed. And that's great, right? Because I'm incredibly proud of the staff and students in Highline community. And I want the world to learn from the amazing work that they're doing. I will also say, though, that at this moment in time, using social media to advocate for what needs to be advocated for right now. And the biggest example, and I'm sure that this is one that you can sign on to as well, is broadband access for every child in every home in this country. And so, you know, I think the power of social media is not just in sharing the good news and the stories, but in also using, amplifying your voice to advocate for equity and for kids and for our public schools. And so I just think it's a wonderful vehicle to do that. It does take some time, but, you know, you just establish your routine. You know, I get up in the morning, I get my coffee, I get the cat. She has breakfast next to me. I'm drinking my coffee. I'm on my Twitter. Like, this is just how we roll. So, you know, you just kind of have to establish your own rhythm. But I think it's really a really important thing to have as part of your communication strategy as a leader.
Yeah, absolutely. And what would be the easiest platform, in your opinion, if a superintendent had to pick one? What do you think they should select?
Well, you know, for whatever reason, I gravitated towards Twitter. I force myself to engage on Instagram as well. And I'm better, but I'm not great. But Twitter has worked for me. I think you have to find what feels most manageable for you. And Twitter has been the most manageable for me. I will also say, though, that you have to, I think, to as a leader, as a public leader, to engage in social media responsibly, you have to resist some of our human urges to respond at times to and get into a back and forth. It is very rare that I will do that. I think you have to have a tremendous amount of self-regulation and a bit of a thick skin, because you will be targeted at times. But resist the urge to get into a back and forth. Take a conversation on an issue, you know, off of Twitter and say, I'd be happy to talk to you, you know, at a separate time. But sometimes it's important to take a stand on an issue. And I have done that.
Absolutely. I think, you know, you're absolutely right. If you have to pick one maybe that you're the most comfortable with anyways. Totally. But I would say for a superintendent, to pick Twitter over like a Facebook, where there's more opportunities just for people to comment and just having to monitor things. Mm-hmm. Twitter is more of it's a news channel. It's a great place, like you said, to get those celebrations out. It's so easy to retweet other things that you see by following your many, you know, hashtags. You've got hashtag our Highline story, you know, part of a leader. You can just start retweeting out what you're seeing, right?
Absolutely. And it's quick, right? I mean, that's the other thing. And so true confessions, I am one of my husband and I are probably two of the only human beings on the planet that have never been on Facebook ever personally. So now, you know, part of it is we don't have kids. And I know that a lot of what you do Facebook is to share photos of your kids and all that, but we've never done Facebook, and I do not have a personal Instagram or Twitter account. It's only as my superintendent self. And that's important, right? I do think that you have to draw a distinction between your personal and your professional, knowing that even if you say I'm acting not as my superintendent hat, you're still the superintendent. And so for me, you know, having that clear delineation between my personal and my private is important. My personal and my private, let's try that again. My personal and my public is critically important. And I think it's harder when you have personal accounts and professional accounts. They can bleed into each other at times.
Yeah. I if you are on Facebook, I think that might be a great place to focus on your personal side. And then when you're on Twitter, you do your professional, which you're at Superintendent Enfield. So it's S-U-P-T and then Enfield. We'll have your Twitter account linked, obviously, in the show notes.
Yeah.
But it is, it's easier to keep those separate. If you were going to just start out in Twitter, and let's just say I'm a superintendent, I've never done anything, or I did set up a Twitter account 2 years ago when I was at that breakout session at the convention where they told me I had to have Twitter, and then I haven't tweeted since then.
Yeah.
What would you say is a great goal to try to start to use the platform?
Yeah. So when I started, Tova Tupper, who's our wonderful assistant director of communications, said to me, you know, part of the thing here is to maintain a presence. So you can't just go dark and then expect sort of people to keep following. So I think that I typically try to tweet daily. My comms team encourages me to take breaks now and again, just for my own well-being. But I would say definitely during the week, at least once a day, and then checking in to see if there are other things to comment or retweet, but making a goal of maybe one a day, and if that's too much, do two a week, you know, just to until you, and again, you get, it becomes easy and you have people that you're following, and you know, you can just start by retweeting people you're following. If you don't feel comfortable posting things yet, just retweet some good folks to follow. And that's a place to start. And then start adding your own content and voice.
Absolutely. Because a Twitter, it only lets you use 280 characters. So you can't like write a big old blog or a novel on Twitter. You got to keep it short.
Which is good, I think.
Yes.
Like it forces you to get your message out. I think as a comms person, you would appreciate this. It forces you to be really clear, concise, and crisp in what you want to say. And that's good.
Absolutely. And once you know what you have to say, I mean, you can honestly do a tweet in what, less than 30 seconds?
Oh, yeah. Well, unless you're a former English teacher like I am, and I perseverate over every single word. And yes, I still capitalize and use punctuation. I'm sorry. I can't not do that. So it does take me a little longer. And sometimes, and I will say too, you can save drafts on Twitter. So I would also say, you know, if you're tweeting something and you feel like you don't have the wording right, rather than rush yourself to put something out prematurely that you might not feel good about, just save the draft and then go back and do it later. I find myself doing that sometimes too.
That's a great tip, but you cannot edit a tweet. So
that is, but you can edit it in a draft.
Right.
That's the thing. You can save your draft. So if the main content is there, but it's got to be tweaked, save it in draft until you feel good about it.
Yeah. And then if you do make a mistake, which happens, I've been doing social media for 6 years. Of course, we've made a mistake. You just delete it and then you start over.
Okay? Exactly. Exactly.
So we are all human. And so that makes
Amen.
Sense. Yes. But everybody has 30 seconds. And mm-hmm. so it could be a retweet of something you see by following, again, your district hashtag.
Yeah.
And maybe you say, that's amazing, Susie. I'm so, you know.
Yeah. Or, and just start by looking around at all the great people in your district and just celebrate them. Maybe it's just, you know, saying, you know, I was out today and I saw, you know, one of my kindergarten teachers driving through the neighborhood, dropping off gifts and cards to her students. I've never been prouder to be superintendent in whatever your district is. Those messages go a long way to help staff feel seen and appreciated, and to also let your community know that your staff is going above and beyond in a really tough time. So, you know, it can be that simple.
Yeah. And Twitter may not be the spot where most of your community hangs out. With most of our schools, Facebook is the spot where, you know, we have the most followers. But that means Twitter might be a safer spot to start.
Yeah.
And guess what? I bet if people know that you as the superintendent are on Twitter, if they want to follow what you're going to say, they're going to follow you on Twitter, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah,
so,
for sure.
So don't worry about having to be all places. Pick one, be comfortable with it. And the other great thing about Twitter, Susan, is it connects you to amazing educators across the country.
Oh, yeah.
So you know my friend, Joe Sanfilippo.
Who doesn't love Joe? We all love Joe.
We do. And Joe was just a few weeks ago on the podcast, as far as we're going to broadcast this one in June. He was the first person that I went and visited because he's literally 70 miles from me, Susan.
Oh, nice. Lucky you.
Yeah. So it's pretty cool. But being able to connect with other superintendents or other educators, tell me about the power of that.
Well, it's hugely powerful. And frankly, you know, it's as easy as, you know, the educators are a wonderful professional community. And we, in my experience, we tend to step up for one another. And if an ask is made, we're going to respond. And so I don't know how many times I've seen a tweet from someone saying, hey, I'm just getting started. Who are some great, you know, teachers to follow, superintendents to follow, principals to follow, and you'll get inundated with different Twitter handles that you can then follow yourself. You know, I know I've done that. Joe's done that for other people. And I think too, you know, I think one thing as well that's really important, Andrea, I think it's easy to get a little intimidated. You know, I mean, I see what Joe Sanfilippo does. I can't do that, mainly because I cannot walk and record at the same time without falling, right? So like, he's my hero, just that he's that coordinated. I am not that coordinated. But I don't beat myself up because I can't do those 1 minute walk to work videos that Joe does that are absolutely brilliant. That's Joe. And that comes naturally for him, right? He needs to do that. I think it's important to own who you are as a leader and embrace that and definitely learn from other people, but don't feel you have to be like them. You have to do you. Do you as best you can. Learn, get tips, but don't try to be someone that you're not, because that's just never going to work. It's just not.
That's really good advice. I love it. And so my question is, you know, you using social media is one thing. Mm-hmm. Within your district, how many staff members do you have?
We have about close to 2,000 teachers, but you know, then we've got our bus drivers, our paraedics, so thousands. We've got
thousands of staff members. How do you encourage or promote their use of social media?
Yeah. So as I said, we're really fortunate to have an incredible communications team here in Highline. And so we actually have policies and guidelines on social media use for staff that we put out to folks. Tova does, you know, has done trainings and other things for staff. She'll help a school or someone set up an account if they need to, which doesn't take that long. So we are pretty good, I think, at providing what the expectations and limitations and parameters are, because we also, you know, as a teacher or staff member, again, that personal professional line gets crossed really easy on social media, and you just have to be mindful of that. And I think it's really important for district leaders to understand, you know, one of the things that makes our country what it is the First Amendment, right? And people have a right and should, right, speak their mind. And so you may hear and see things that are tough to hear and see. But, you know, short of them being, you know, libelous or slanderous, you they're going to be out there. And so I do think engaging though in conversations, if something hot does come up, particularly with students. Okay. So that's, to be honest, we haven't had really serious issues with staff. They've been great in their social media use and more continue to get on all the time. We have had a few issues where I've been Twitter bombed by students on a particular issue. And, you know, that's when I think as the adults, we have to turn it into a teachable moment. So I typically, again, don't get into the back and forth, but I've contacted the school and I've arranged to go meet with the students and sit down and talk with them about what their concerns are and talk about how do you make change when you see something wrong? How do you speak to people in positions of leadership and power and have your voice heard? And Twitter bombing isn't going to get you far, you know? So, and then of course, because teenagers are this way, they'll say, well, it got you here. Valid point. It did. But if you really want to enlist my support in your cause, you're not going to get me beyond here. If that's your only strategy, you need to be able to sit down and engage with me in a real conversation on the issues. If we're going to be in some kind of collaborative effort together. And I think those are important conversations for us as the adults to be having with our students. So that they understand that they need to be responsible and think through the consequences of what they put out on social media, which I know is a whole other podcast we could go into, but.
Yeah. Well, it gets back to one of the reasons why I think it's important for schools to be on social media mm-hmm. is we educate our kids all the time. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, you know, this, we spend so much time. Don't do that. How could you do that? Especially when it comes to internet safety. Well, how about showing them how to positively use social media to make a difference in this world, right?
Right, exactly.
And you're doing that every day by example. Now we're saying, yes, sometimes bad things can happen. Mm-hmm. I always say about 99.9% of feedback or anything is always positive. 99.9% of the time. Would you agree with that?
I'm a superintendent, so I'd maybe say like 95, you know, we get a little more than the average bear.
I suppose, but in regards to maybe on their school, social media, yeah, when Joel was putting, that's encouraging.
Yeah.
So social media, obviously very important. It's not your only role. Obviously you have a big, big role, but you kind of talked about the importance of sharing successes and stories and then building that community support. Yeah. So can you just talk about that in regards to not only your specific use as mm-hmm. Superintendent Enfield, but as the district?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think, you know, there's no such thing, I think, from a district perspective as over communicating with your stakeholders, whether it's families, students, staff, or just community members at large. And you know, we use our social media outlets as a district, right? So there's my personal use of Twitter, Instagram, et cetera. But then, you know, Tova and her colleagues maintain our district. We have our district Twitter handle, Instagram, Facebook, all of that. And we push everything out on every single platform we can, because people are going to access information differently, right? What works, you know, some people want a text, some people want an email, some people are on Twitter, some people are on Facebook, you know, I mean, it just, so we, I would say that, you know, there's no such thing as really oversaturating your community with those messages. And what I think too is important is it helps to get a fuller story of what's happening in the district out there, because we know that we all have critics, and rightfully so. We're not perfect. You know, there's definitely room for us to improve and be criticized. However, I think sometimes the negative story can rule the day. And I think this is where, as districts, we have to make sure, not that we, you know, one of my favorite quotes from my grad school professors is, don't fake your funk, right? Don't try to gloss, don't make it glossy, don't make it prettier than it is. Own it if it's ugly and messy. But also make sure that you balance that with the beauty and the good that's out there. And that's where I think this is so incredibly important, is you can get facts and a more balanced story and narrative around what's happening in the district out through social media.
That quote is, don't fake your funk.
Your funk.
I love it.
Right?
That's powerful. And social media really builds that trust and that transparency. Mm-hmm. And you can't fake that because people are going to be able to tell. And so let's use that tool to really build it. I love it. As we kind of wrap up, Susan, is there one, this is putting on the spot a little bit, but okay. Is there one social media post or campaign or something that is the most memorable in your eyes, and especially in your 8 years at Highline, that really sticks out?
I'd say that they sort of come and go depending on, you know, we've had a few sort of, hashtags and things that have caught a little bit of fire and then they die down and then another one comes back. But I do think that just sort of this notion of, to be honest, our Highline promise hasn't been in and of itself a social media campaign, but it is the subject, frankly, or I should say it is the underlying theme of every social media campaign that goes on in Highline, right? We are driven by that promise of every student by name, strength, and need. And I think that permeates what we do. You know, for lack of a better term, it's our brand, right? I mean, that's what Highline is known for. That's who we are. It's our DNA. And so I think making sure that who you are as a leader, as a system, as a community is felt and heard through every social media campaign or post that you have, I think is really important. That what you stand for, your values, your priorities, is incredibly important. And it doesn't always have to be the same word or the same hashtag, but that it comes across. And I will just end with this too, that we as leaders, I believe it's important that we model, right? That we model for our staff, our students, our community, that which we believe is important. And I will say that one thing that we've launched in Highline is a hashtag HPS wellness campaign recently. And it's really, we're putting videos out every week on, you know, breathing techniques and movement and relaxation and modeling that. And so my sharing some tweets where not just when all is hunky dory and I'm doing my breathing and I did my yoga and I got my 6 mile run in and whoop-de-doo, look at me, but also those days where, you know what, I'm really struggling today and it's okay to struggle, right? These are hard times. So I think that, again, getting back to don't fake your funk as the leader, you know, be human with your folks. And social media allows you to do that at a scale that you wouldn't be able to do otherwise. And I think there's power in that. There's power in being human. And social media just allows you to share your humanness with everyone in your community.
Yeah, vulnerability, right? Mm-hmm. And it's hard to be vulnerable as a leader when people look to you. But sure. That'll build more bridges than anything else.
And absolutely. So,
really powerful way to wrap that up. I need to bring up one more thing because I always, since I met you and you received a big award at NSPRA several years ago. Mm-hmm. And I loved your promise then. And I believe the promise used to be every student is known by name, strength, and need.
That's it.
But then you added, or at least on the Twitter thing, you have, and graduates prepare for the future they choose. So yeah. Is that an additional part now that you've added, or?
Actually, if you have a minute, I'll tell you, it's really interesting around how iteration is really important in your district messaging. So our original promise was every student by name, strength, and need. So they graduate prepared for college, career, and citizenship. When we did the revamp of our strategic plan, one of the things that we heard was we have a significant immigrant and refugee community here in Highline. And that term citizenship was one that had people not seeing themselves as part of it. What if I'm not a citizen? So does that mean this doesn't apply to me? And wow, talking about something that I had never even thought of, right? But that was a feeling. And so as I said, we are richly diverse and proud of that. And we want to be an inclusive, respectful community. So when we did our revamp, we kept the name Strength and Need because that's our DNA. But we added graduates prepared for the future they choose, because we are clear that we don't want any child to be limited by the perceptions or limitations that an adult or a system puts upon them. We want them to graduate with everything available to them. So yes, it did iterate over time, but we sort of shortened the name strength and need thing. That's the heart of it. And so sometimes we shorten it a little bit, but yeah, you're right. It's the full promise. Very astute. Look at you.
Well, I love the fact that, you know, schools are starting to transition from, you know, college readiness to now they're saying college and career readiness. Well, really, isn't it career readiness?
I mean, everything. It's life readiness.
Right. And college eventually leads to a career. And there are so many opportunities right out of high school to get right into the workforce and develop amazing careers, entrepreneurial experiences, all of this stuff. And as a mom of six, I'm a little passionate about that.
Well, and we should celebrate all of those paths equally, right? Like the student who graduates from Highline and goes directly to work as a machinist at Boeing I'm as proud of that student and will celebrate that student just as I will the student who goes to the University of Washington to get a computer science degree. We really have to, I think, embrace all of that in our messaging and be careful in our messaging that we're doing that. And the last thing that I will say, Andrea, is that our promise is so important, because when people ask me, what is your definition of equity? That promise is at its heart a definition of equity. If as school systems, we knew every student, and as a mom, think about this, if your school knew your student by name, strength, and need, and that come graduation day, your child was prepared for whatever path they wanted to pursue, that's equity in action.
Yeah. I'm just getting a little choked up. Susan, you are so inspirational. I know that everybody listening to this podcast is going to be able to follow you on Twitter and be continually inspired. The story, not only of you, but your leadership, and then it echoes throughout your district and really across the country. I just want to thank you for your time today and for sharing and being bold and you know, putting your thoughts out there, because you are truly making a difference. So thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much. And thank you for what you do. It's wonderful. Incredibly important.
Thank you, guys. Tune in next time. We'll be back soon. Well, that's a wrap. Thanks so much for tuning into this episode. And if this podcast is helping you and your school with social media, could you do me a favor? Would you please leave me a review? It's going to help me help even more schools across the country. And that is my mission. Now, if you're looking for more helpful blog articles, webinars, short videos, check out my website, socialschool4edu.com. It's going to have a lot of information that can help you. And until next time, keep telling those stories.